Okay, everyone, good afternoon, good evening. The title of the shiur is the mitzvos that our forefathers did and the impact on our generation. And the reason, I would say two reasons why I chose to speak about this topic, still Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it's Aleph Kislev, we have a few weeks till Chanukah, but this topic is very relevant to the parshas we're in, certainly parshas Toldos, the Ramban speaks about in this week's parsha. Idea that did the Avos really do all the mitzvot? It comes up. I was on the way here. I was thinking through. It comes up in Parashas Toldos. It comes up in Parashas Vayetze. Comes up in Parashas Vayishlach Vayeshev. It comes up in Parashas Miketz. I'm not sure about Vayigash, but it comes up in Parashas Vayechi. So that's one reason. Very relevant to the parashas that we're learning right now. We're hearing right now. Second reason is I remember many. A long time ago, when Yeshiva University started the series on Torah Ramada. And everyone knows they spent a number of years, and every year a journal came out. And my father gave the inaugural shiur on Torah Ramada. And the first year he spoke about why it's important to be a Torah Jew, to understand the Chachmas HaOlam, science, and all the various Chachmas. And the second shiur, which he gave a year later, and both Shurim were to a packed crowd in Lampard Auditorium, he spoke about the various contradictions between, various perceived contradictions between the Torah and science. And he introduced his words and he said, why am I talking about this? Because I think he said, the truth is, it doesn't really bother me. I think he was thinking, as my uncle once said, he said, if someone finds a contradiction in Torah and science, it doesn't bother me. Because even we don't understand the Torah, we don't understand the science. This is why did my father choose to give a shiur? I think the shiur is written up in logic of mind. But he chose to give the shiur because when he was a young man who was asking avelus for his father, he says, you know, stolen an avelus, so he's always looking for a minion. So he once walked into a shul in New York City, must have been the Lower East Side, I'm not sure even, maybe it was in Washington Heights, and Tadah Myrith. And as he walked in, the Rav of the Shul was still giving a shir. They call it a shtibul. And he said, I sat down to listen to the rest of the shir, which I think was a fantastic idea in Musar too. My father sat down to listen to a shir. And at that time, the Rav was learning the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yotes. Gemara in Erev and Daf Yotes speaks about the fact that in the valley of Ben Hinnom, there's two palm trees, which smoke comes out from in between. And that's the entrance to Gehenna. Okay? And my father said, I saw that the Balabatim were sitting around and they were smirking. It was very funny. And he said, that always bothered me that people would make fun of Chazal because they thought that the Mishnah Pshat in the Gemara and the Torah and the Pshat in the Gemara went against science and they laughed. So for this reason, I was very happy to give this shiur. Okay, this is not a shiur in Torah Mara, so I'm not going to deal with that issue. I think it must be in the book. But the same reason when it comes to the various midrashim, various gemaras, where Chazal do say and do imply that the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kula, there are a lot of people that poke fun in a public way, in a private way. Someone from my shul just came up to me and said to me, you know, I was at a shir 2 weeks ago, and someone was going ahead and speaking about this medrash and talking about the details, you know, nuances of Allah, of Avinu kept it. And sometimes it sounds to me a little ridiculous. And the reason why I mention this, I don't know if any of you saw it, but a number of years ago, there was a video that went viral, I think. And that video, someone was making fun, a cartoon, of two Yeshiva Bachram arguing whether Avraham Avinu or Yitzchak Yaakov wore Crocs on Yom Kippur. And what's the basis for this argument? Because Rav Yashiv holds Crocs are usher. So the question is, did Avraham Avinu follow the Chumah Rav Yashiv? And the point of the video is to make fun of a certain idea that goes out there, but indirectly I think it made fun of the Medrash also. So that's why I'm actually quite happy to give the shiur. However, I want to make one disclaimer. I really have no clue what the Avos did. Okay, that's what I said. I wasn't there. I only know the various texts. We'll try to learn and see what they did. But I think what's more important is the idea that's behind it. Now, for example, I just gave a shiur to some students of mine on the whole idea of shade and demons. Young kids love to learn about demons. And I said, it's not important whether or not shade exist or don't exist. What's really important is, what's the meaning behind it? What were Chazal trying to impart to us? And the same thing that comes here. But we have to learn the sugya. So let's begin now. I would just say, before I begin, I want to mention introduction, and I'll come back and explain it in the context of the shir, but in source number 6, the Tzlach, it's Not of Yehuda, so he points out, he says, his words are, the words, he says that he says that no one argues on this. Everyone agrees that the Avos kept the whole Torah. So I was telling this to someone in my shul, because I mentioned in the Tzib holds that they have the whole Torah. So he says, really? So I told him, the Tzlach says, no one argues. We'll see if nobody argues. Let's go. So let's start with the sugyas. It's actually 3 Gemaras. So the Gemara, which is most specific, is Gemara Maseches Yuma. And the Gemara there is discussing, actually, just the context of the sugya is Maseches Yuma. Gemara is discussing, it seems that Avraham Avinu, yes, even though everyone feels that Yitzchak was the one with Avraham Mincha, the Gemara says, refers to Mincha as Tzlusei da Avraham. And most of them say that even though Yitzchak davened Mincha, Avraham Avinu also davened Mincha. And when did Avraham Avinu davened Mincha? He davened Mincha Chatzos. Now we know that we don't daven min chatzos. We wait for what time? We wait for half an hour after chatzos. So if chatzos midday is 12 o'clock, we won't daven mincha until approximately 12:30. But Avraham Avinu, he davened mincha at chatzos at 12, whatever time it was. So the Gemara asks, so how come we don't daven at chatzos like Avraham Avinu? Gemara says, listen, Avraham Avinu, first of all, was an astronomer, so he understood everything about what goes on in the heavens, okay? That no one had problems with that. And Avraham Avinu was a Zaken Yoshev Yeshiva. And therefore, since he was a Zaken Yoshev Yeshiva and he was involved in Torah Hashem, there was a certain Siyat Dishmaya, assistance from heaven, they would never get it wrong. We're not on the same level of Avraham Avinu, so therefore we can't daven mincha until a half after midday, because if we daven half midday, we might make a mistake. So the Gemara there in that context goes through. I'm not going to go through it. It's not really relevant to us. But the Gemara says that, as a matter of fact, the Jewish people for generations were Yoshev B'Yeshiva. In Mitzrayim, they learned Torah in Yeshiva. He says, and then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, in the Midbar there was a Yeshiva. In Abraham, they refer to whenever you see the word Zaken, it must mean that they were learning Torah in Yeshiva. Avraham was Yoshev B'Yeshiva. As the Avraham Zochim Vavayomim, Yitzchak, and then it goes on like this. And it says, and then Yitzchak is not in the Gemara here, but it's in the Gemara, it's not on the page. Yitzchak was Yoshev Yeshiva, as it says, that before Yitzchak gave the brachos, that Yitzchak was Zokain, he says, and Yaakov was Yoshev Yeshiva, and then it says like this, Amar Rav, the third line, Dav Chavkas and Aveis, of the Dav Madat and Mekoros, Kayim Av Mavinu, Kol HaTorah Kula. Avraham Avinu was Mekayim, the whole Torah, everything. As we see in this week's parsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, Ekev Esheshom Avim Bekoli. He says, so Gemara asked the question, just because Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avraham, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does that mean that it was Mekayim called Torah Kula? Maybe it was Mekayim, just the 7 Noahide laws, 7 mitzvahs. So Gemara says, or maybe Mrs. Mila. So he says that if he was Mekayim only the Zionists of Noach, the 7 Noachide laws, or and the mitzvah of Mila, the Gemara would have said just Shama Avim Bakoli. But the Torah would have said Shama Avim Bakoli. The Torah adds the word Mitzvosai Mitzvorasai, and therefore that means he was Mekayim the whole Torah. And not only was Mekayim the whole Torah, so Rabashi says, last line of source number 1, Kayim Avraham Avinu afil Erev Tashilin. Avraham Avinu was Mekayim fulfilled even Erev Tashilin. If Shabbos comes, if Yom Tov comes out on a Friday, just Erev Tashilin. So even though Avraham Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael, right? And in Eretz Yisrael, by the way, Erev Tashilin, I didn't make the question, is not as common as the Chosloret. Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Erev Tashilin. She Shenemar says Sarasai. What does Sarasai mean? Torah Shebaksav, Torah Shebal Peh. Okay, so that's one Gemara. I would just point out that Tosfos, and actually in source number 4, the Ritva mentions Tosfos is not here. Tosfos asks the question, okay, Eretz Yisrael is a beautiful mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So why do we choose Erev Tashilin? There could be so many mitzvahs. Yeah, the Kilos Yadayim. So many mitzvahs. Why Erev Tashilin? So the Ritva says that Erev Tashilin, if you look at the specifics of the mitzvah, and this is very important, we'll come back to this later, but what Erev Tashilin is about, but it seems to be the most lenient, that we have a view of, we don't take it as serious as other mitzvahs. Why? Because what's the point of Erev Tashilin? You want to make something for Shabbos before Yom Tov starts. So what do you make? So you make a kezias of bread, a kezias of food, an egg, and done, you're done. And it doesn't make a difference how big your family is. And even if you go ahead and you make an Erev Tashilin for the whole city, right? One egg, one roll, it's enough. He says. So that's, and also, the other thing is, this morning he says that Erev Tashilin is a zecher ba'alma, to remember that you should make sure before Shabbos starts, before Yom Tov starts, that you know Yom Tov is coming. Don't forget about Shabbos. Make sure that something's ready for Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Erev Tashilin. If you do that, then you can cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos also. And that's the reason why even Erev Tashilin, where our stance for Erev Tashilin, we're very makel, we're very lenient. You still, even a mitzvah like that, Avraham Avinu was machmer, was strict on himself to be mekayim. Okay, hopefully we'll come back to that. But that's one Gemara. Then there's a second Gemara. Gemara is Maseches Kedushin. That's the end of the Masechta, and there the Mishnah says, Rabbi Nahorai Omer, Rabbi Nahorai says, ain't just talking about professions, ain't in Malame V'niya LaTorah, I will only teach my son Torah, and it talks about how great Torah is. And then it says, and you want to know how great Torah is? Look at Avraham Avinu. Source number two, Da Pei Beis Amar Aleph, V'chein Omer Avraham Avinu, V'Avraham Zokein, V'Hashem Berechet Avraham Bakol, Hashem was Avraham everything. But Sinu Shoasa Avraham Avinu is called Torah Kula. Avraham Avinu was Makayim the whole Torah until it was given to Shenemar, quoting the same pasuk. So there's the Gemara Mishnah, the Sakas Gedushin, that it says Avraham Avinu was Makayim the whole Torah. Then one last Gemara, this is Maseches Chulin. So this is talking about the Gid HaMoshe. We know the Gid HaMoshe, that when Yaakov Avinu was had the, let's say, the conflict, the Sar Shalesa, and he came out injured. So because of that, we weren't allowed, they became this halacha, well, because of that, but we couldn't eat the Gid HaMoshe. So the question is, Gemara there quotes that in Parshas, I believe it's Parshas Miketz, he says when Yosef Tzadik was serving his brothers a meal, and they didn't know who Yosef was yet, so he served them, he took out he showed them, listen, he said, I know you guys are Jews and everything, this is Mahajim in a Mahajim. And he showed them that he shechted the animal, and he also showed them he took out the Gid HaMoshe. So if you look at source number 3, from the Tzadik Kunda Tzadik HaOf from the Aleph, so the Gemara says this, he says like this, Dover Shalach B'Yakov, Gid HaMoshe, that is the idea of sent to Yaakov, Gid HaMoshe, Dover Yisrael, Shed Pasha Yisrael, B'chol Yisrael, this is Yisrael, even the Gid HaMoshe. So, the from the hindquarter, so that spread amongst all the Jews. V'amrav Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Ma'ay Dechsiv, what does it mean that when it says when Yosef wanted a meal for his brothers, it says, V'tzvoach Tzabach V'achay, Paralem Beis HaShchita, he showed them the Beis HaShchita, they shechted the animal properly, V'achay, take out the Ganasha from our brother, so you should see. So Gemara says, the fact that Yosef's brothers, Yosef was concerned that his brothers should see that he took out a Gid HaMoshe, that means that Yosef's brothers did not eat the Gid HaMoshe. Why did Gid HaMoshe? Because it must be Gid HaMoshe Nesrol of Bnei Noach. That Gid HaMoshe is Asur for the Bnei Noach to eat. It doesn't mean the Bnei Noach, it means that it was usher for the Jewish people to eat, the tribe of the Jews, while they were still B'nai Noah. Okay, that's what Gemara said. The fact that Yosef HaTzadik found it very important to go ahead and to show them the Gid HaMoshe was taken out, that must mean that the Gid HaMoshe, that it was usher for the Jewish people to eat the Gid HaMoshe even before Matan Torah. So just very quickly on this, the Tzlach, and this is source number 6, the Tzlach quotes Tosfos. Tosfos says, what do you mean it was Usher? Maybe it was just like Erev Tashilin. Maybe just like since the Avos kept all the mitzvot, they kept Gid HaMoshe also, but it wasn't Usher for them. They just chose to go ahead and to eat it. They're not to eat it. So Tosfos gives the answer. The fact that it says v'hachin, v'hachin implies prepare it for them. That means that not it wasn't a chumrah. It would be awesome them to eat it with the gira masha. Fine. But the slach goes on. The slach says, he says the slach goes on, and the slach says that asked the question. The varz murit. He says he asks. He says it's still very difficult. He says that because Tosfos goes ask and says that why would they know of Isser of Gira Nosha, right? He says he says that everyone agrees. In other words, Tosfos says it's a very difficult Gemara because obviously they were no way to not eat a Gira Nosha, and everyone knows and everyone agrees that the Bnei Noach. The Shvatim and the Avos did all the mitzvos. So the whole Gemara, the Slach says, is difficult. And he goes on to explain what he thinks Shatan the Gemara is. But he says the whole Gemara is difficult. What do you mean that it was us for them? The idea is that they went ahead and they kept every single mitzvah. So of course Yosef Tzadik would take out the Gidin Lashon part of them. So that's the Slach. So now let's go through exactly what happened. Is it literal? Not literal. So I want to start with source number 5. And source number 5 is called the Alperion on Sefer Bereishis. Who's the Alperion? The Alperion, I'm not sure if it's Sefer Yustin, was written by a very famous Machaber, Rav Shlomo Gansfried, the one who wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And about Shlomo Gansfried, I will tell you that, I'm not sure if I remember the story properly, but one of my brothers was in elementary school, and I think his teacher said that there is no Jewish house about a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And he came home, and he was looking for a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And there was no Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Hasra Baron Soloveitchik. He had a mini theological crisis at that point. He said to me, there wasn't a Mishnah Berurah, there wasn't a Chayadon. However, I do want to tell you that when we learned Mesechus Nida and Luchas Nida, my father used very often the Sefer Lechem V'Simla, that was the Perish and Hilchas Nida, Mesechus Nida, and I remember him saying, the godless of Shlomo Gansfried was, he was able to write a sefer that little children could learn, and that was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And he was able to write a sefer that even the biggest Talmid Chachamim could get something out of Lechem V'Simla. Now, when I was growing up, we did have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the house. So just you know, but that's he wrote a Perush and a Chumash called Alperion, and he asked the question, and this is from this week's parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, "I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael, Eikav Shama Avram Bekoli." And he quotes the Gemara in Kedushin, and he asks the question, how could Adam Avinu be Mekayim Kol Torah Kula? Because one of the mitzvahs of Kol Torah Kula is you have to put on tefillin. And he asks the question, he doesn't understand, he says. How could Adam Avinu put on tefillin? Because the halacha is that only someone who's chayiv in tefillin can write tefillin. And because Adam Avinu was not chayiv in tefillin, how can he write tefillin? So if Adam Avinu put on tefillin, he wasn't in the kind of mitzvah, because tefillin written by someone that's not mechayiv in the mitzvah is not tefillin. That is the kasha of the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And he gives the answer, and he says, you know what? He says, the answer is that even though Avraham Avinu was not chayiv in the mitzvah, but Avraham Avinu caused the mitzvah. And someone who causes the mitzvah can also write tefillin. How did he cause the mitzvah? So when Avraham Avinu was talking to the Melech Stone after the war, and Melech Stone said, you know, keep most of the things. Avram said, Michut v'ashrochnal. And so Chazal tell us, what does it mean, Michut v'ashrochnal? Because he said those things, his children, descendants were zocher to two mitzvahs, tzitzis and tefillin, and because of that, he caused the mitzvah, and since he caused the mitzvah, so he went ahead and he was able to write the tefillin. He says, so that's what the Sefer Bachar says. So obviously, according to Bachar Shulchan Aruch, it's obvious that he took this medrash, the Gemara, literally. That is the Bachar Shulchan Aruch, Sefer Alperion, Bereishis Perek Vav. Source number 7, the Merome Sada, from my family, the Nsiv. So he also takes that approach, and he asks the question. He says, it seems there are two Gemaras. There's a Gemara, there's a Mishnah, Maseches Kedushin, which we saw, where the Mishnah says, Avraham Avinu was asas kol Torah kula, and we have a Gemara Maseches Yuma where the word is not asa, but the word is kayim. And then that's Rav Shita, and then there's Rav Ashi. So he asked the question: What was Rav and Rav Ashi adding on to the Mishnah? The Mishnah Peretz, it's explicit Mishnah Sechas Kedushin that Amar Avinu was Mekayem Kol Torah Kula. So the Nitziv of Meromei Sada. And by the way, if you want to see the whole Nitziv, Meromei Sada is really a collection of everything that Tziv said elsewhere. I don't think he wrote really a collection, but if you look, I think it's the second Harchev Dover in this week's Parsha, I think. I saw it this week. But the Meromei Sada says, in the second Kedushin, Av is talking to Av, you learn Kol HaTorah Kula. He learned Kol HaTorah Kula, and learning Torah really does something to you. In the Maseches Yuma, it's not that he learned it, but he went ahead and he was able actually to do all the mitzvahs. So the Tziv takes that approach also, that he went ahead and he did all the mitzvahs. The last two commentaries that seem to imply that he did all the mitzvahs, I shouldn't say the last two. That's really incorrect. We'll get to it. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, Parshas Vayechi. So Parshas Vayechi, the Or Chaim asked the question. It's on this is source number 8, Yechi Ruvein, Vayomos. So it says, I'm sorry. That's Parshas HaBracha. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu says, "Kochi Bereshis Oni," that you really should have been the Bechor, right? You should have been the Bechor Mulucha, Bechor to be a leader, and because of your impulsiveness, so Itachas Kamayim, you lost it. So the Archaim HaKadosh asked, I don't understand. It's halacha in the Torah, then who gets Pishnai, who gets two shears? Bechor, the firstborn. So how could Yaakov Avinu, who went ahead and he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, how could Yaakov Avinu have taken the firstborn rights away from Reuven and given it to Yosef? He'd given it to Yosef. So the idea that he says is like this. He says that what happened was that they were not mechuyev to keep the Torah. He says, however, they saw that there was something very special in the Torah, and obviously if they wouldn't have had a choice, they could keep the Torah. So let's say, for example, there are mitzvahs that we know that we for example, have choices to do. For example, let's say, for example, tzitzis, at least on a deraisa level, let's just say. The minhag is, the custom certainly is, it's certainly a custom that we should wear tzitzis every single day. But mid deraisa, the whole chiyuv to wear tzitzis is only if you have a arba kantos, a four-cornered garment. However, he says, a person wears the tzitzis, he gets a reward. A person doesn't. So, there wouldn't be a punishment if he's not wearing a four-cornered garment. So, Or Chaim HaKadosh basically points out that because they love the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they wanted to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so they fulfilled everything. And he quotes the Gemara in Maseches Yuma, he was Mekayim, even Erev Tavshilin. And he also taught his children, descendants, grandchildren, it's good to Mekayim, it's good to fulfill all the mitzvahs. However, it says in the middle, the makom shohayurowim toelis, if they saw a purpose not to do the mitzvah. All right, so just for example, that when Yaakov Avinu saw that for him it would be, for whatever reason Yaakov saw, it would be okay to marry two sisters, even though bearing two sisters is usur. He says, he was able to marry two sisters because he wasn't really obligated in the Torah. And even if it turns out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Malki Nevuah through prophecy, he did mitzvahs, they were like prophets. What does it mean they were like prophets? A prophet sometimes is allowed to go against the Torah, you know, because he hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, temporarily, for example. The most famous example of somebody who went against the halacha in the Torah because he was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu is Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel. Then Eliyahu the prophet, wanted to prove that you have to follow God and not Baal, so he decided to go ahead and have a rendezvous with the priest of Baal and set up two altars on the Har HaKarmel and see which one would get answered. And the truth is Eliyahu HaNavi, when he did that, he violated the commandment of the Torah because the law is you can only make sacrifices where at the Beit HaMikdash. But since he was a prophet is allowed temporarily to suspend, even a negative commandment from the Torah. So he says, so the Or Chaim says that our forefathers, they kept the mitzvot
And even if they were told by God to keep the mitzvot, so it's through a prophecy, and therefore they are allowed to go ahead and they are allowed to suspend the law. And that's what Yaakov Avinu, he says, that was Yaakov Avinu did. And it goes on to explain what Yehuda did with Tamar also, but it's not relevant for us. And for that reason, Yaakov Avinu felt that I have this right now to take away the firstborn from Reuven, because this temporarily I'm allowed at this point, like a prophet, to suspend what the Torah is going to say. That's how, especially because of the situation that it was before Matan Torah. So Archaim seems to take the same approach. That it was all they actually kept all the mitzvot. Okay, the last, not necessarily the last, but I want to deal with the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi is Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, my great grandfather. So he also takes the same approach, and he says very simply. He says his approach is, you know, let's say for example, and actually in this week's parsha, it sounds like the Avos kept Pesach. Because this week's parsha, when Rivka Imenu says to Yaakov, go get the two goats. One of the goats was for what? Korban Pesach, Rashi says. So what's going on? See, he says, we have a tendency to believe, the Beis Halevi says, that why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because God took us out of Mitzrayim. Why do we, sit in the sukkah on Sukkot? Because we were in the Midbar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sukkah for us. He says, no. He says, the reason why God took us out of Mitzrayim is because we're going to eat matzah. Because we're going to eat Korban Pesach. That's the reason for the mitzvah. So yes, and then all of a sudden, once these miracles happened, God connected it. But God did all these things for us because we were willing to do these commandments. And these commandments are not intrinsically connected to the holidays. It happens that God connected them later on. And why do you say that? I mean, it's obviously not to the holidays. But it's not connected necessarily to leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. Why do you say that? Because the Beis Halevi says that the Torah was there before the world was created. And he says, and this is what we tell the Ben Harosh, the wicked son. He says, the wicked son comes into the Seder, and the wicked son says, like, what's going on here? He says, you're eating, you know, the unleavened bread. You're going ahead. He says, like, well, what's going on? Like, you had matzah in Mitzrayim. What's it all about? And we tell, we go ahead, why are we doing this? And he says, we go ahead and we say, you know what? We even did this before we left Mitzrayim. That night before we left, we had a Korban Pesach. We sacrificed the lamb. We had the matzah. Why? Because the reason God took us out is because we did the mitzvot. It's not because God took us out, we do the mitzvot. Because we did the mitzvot and will do the mitzvot, that's why God took us out of Mitzrayim. And he says, an example he says is, it's not necessarily connected to leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, because even our forefathers went ahead, and what did our forefathers do? Our forefathers went ahead, and they also kept all the commandments. How could they keep the commandments of eating matzah when they never left Mitzrayim, never left Egypt? He says, obviously, the mitzvot are done because God wants us to do the mitzvot, and then they were connected. They were connected to the holidays afterwards. Let's say, for example, when it comes to the rainbow. So we know that the rainbow is a sign that God will never bring a flood upon the world. So everyone asks the question. They say, what do you mean? The rainbow was there. A rainbow is a natural phenomenon. It didn't happen in the year 1656. It happened, in 1657. It happened at the year one. So Ramban first wants to suggest that, no, it was a new creation, okay? And then he says that if you listen to the Greek scientists, he says, then you have to say, yeah, because he says the Greek scientists say it was always there. He says you have to say that God just took it, it was there, it was always there. And then after the Mabul, God connected it. So the Beis Halevi says the same thing. The mitzvot were always there. And that's why the forefathers did the mitzvot. It was just after the events happened, God connected it. So the Beis Halevi goes ahead and takes the same approach. I just want to finish off with one more person that basically takes, one more sheet that basically takes, or let's say two more actually, that basically takes that approach. So first of all, the Radvaz, see, he says like this. He says, what's his problem? His problem is also, he says, the Jewish people, the Avos kept all the mitzvahs. So how could Yaakov marry two sisters? He says, Yaakov didn't marry two sisters. Why not? Because Rachel and Leah were two sisters when they were not Jewish. But what happened when they married Yaakov? What happened to them? What did they do? They went through a conflict, got through the version. And we know, Gershon et Geyer, a convert who converted, she cut his Noah dummy. No, me the Rabbanon, we have to still consider certain relations. But Yaakov, I guess, did not keep the Rabbanon for whatever reason. But he says, they weren't sisters because they converted, and therefore they were like they were reborn. They weren't sisters. Yaakov Avinu, that's in that would be the Radvaz and Chelis Beis, Simon Tuf, Reish, Savik Vav. So that's the approach of the Radvaz. The approach of the Ramah in Simon Yud is that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvos, but that was Avram. Yitzchak and Yaakov did not keep all the mitzvos, and that's why Yaakov married two sisters. And he says, yeah, Avram Avinu went ahead and he told his children to keep the Zaymus of Noach. He says to be nice and to be respectful, but he didn't tell them to keep all the mitzvahs. So sometimes you'll have certain families, a father might have certain chumras. He won't expect his children to keep all the chumras. According to Rama, Avram Avinu went ahead and Avram Avinu just kept all the mitzvahs for himself, but not for everyone else, and that's why Yaakov was able to marry two sisters. Okay. So that is the approach of those beforshim that want to take these Gemaras literally. The Rashba, and this is in source number 10, so he has a similar approach, but he has a certain idea which is very, very important. And the Rashba says, and this is Chelek Aleph Siman Tzadik Daled, source number 10, Behikshalach. How could they keep the mitzvos? And they weren't yet commanded in the mitzvos. And also he asks that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So he points out and he says, listen, the Gemara says, as we mentioned, that Avram Avinu fulfilled Erev Tchumen. We didn't see that. He says, he points out, this is very important, that every single mitzvah is connected to some source of higher wisdom. And the bottom line is that the Chachma wants us to do these actions, and inside these actions, the wisdom we can find in these actions, ideas that teach us ideas of wisdom, things that we have to know and incorporate. For example, let's take Erev Tashilim. What's the point of Erev Tashilim? So I said before, Erev Tashilim is an idea that, you know, Yom Tov's coming, so this year I think the last day of Pesach is on a Friday, right? Let's say Pesach on a Friday, Yom Tov's coming, and you know, and the truth is that maybe in Eretz Yisrael it's not so bad in general, but you know, especially if in Chutz Laretz, and if we don't have this year, or a 3-day Yom Tov, right? And Yom Tov is Thursday, Friday, you're preparing all these meals, what happens to Shabbos, right? You know, Shabbos can go on the back burner. So we have to really show that we're not going to forget about Shabbos. So, what's the idea of Erev Tashilim? And even though Erev Tashilim is a din de Rabbanan, the morality of Eretz Yisrael says you can find a source for every Rabbanan in the Torah, and just HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Chazal, the rabbis, to come up with it, but you can find a source in the Torah. The idea is that when you're involved in something that's very important, you might forget everything else. And the idea of Erev Tashilim is, you know what? Don't forget. Remember what's there, and don't forget. Sometimes you have a tendency. You know, we're going to do this mitzvah, we forget about that mitzvah. I have a student. I have a student in my shir. He loves math, so it's all he thinks about is math. So I spoke to him. I said to him, "You have other courses." Then I spoke to my Torah. Other courses. He said, "No, that's the problem I have. All I think about is math." But we have to realize that when we're going ahead and focusing on one thing, we can't forget other things that affect our lives. And that's the Erev Tashilim. So the Rashba says in source number 10 that every mitzvah is connected to a chachma. And that chachma is mechayevet etzamayisev etzmaniyah. That chachma teaches us that we should do this action and not do another action. And then, the other way around, that we see what we can't do, we learn ideas of chachma. And that's how our forefathers understood what the mitzvahs were. Because Avraham Avinu says, whatever that means, but from his two kidneys came forth Chachma, and because of that, Yehuda understood to do the mitzvah of Yibum with Tamar in a different way, even though he weren't commanded on it, and he commanded his children about this, And he says, and that's the idea. Also, the question is, how come Yaakov Avinu married two sisters? So he said, listen, every mitzvah, he says, depends on three pillars: the time, the place, and what you have. So he says, for Yaakov Avinu, it wasn't the time, and we know there's a place. However, the bottom line is that the Chochma represents certain ideas, and there's certain ideas, and the actions are because of those ideas, and we're supposed to learn from the ideas' actions. And I'm sorry, if you understand the ideas, and certainly us, that we do the actions, we have to learn from the action what the ideas of wisdom are to apply the rest of our lives. This is very important. And he says, and Yaakov Avinu understood that even though it would be a halacha in the Torah later on, and there was a certain idea behind it, it didn't apply to him. Just like, for example, a person can't keep Shabbos today. It's ridiculous to keep Shabbos today. Or, let's say, I'm sure that, you know, before Hanukkah, President Trump will have a Hanukkah party in the White House. Okay, but it's not a Hanukkah party. You can't have a Hanukkah party before White House. Like, he has to do it. But, he says, Yaakov Avinu, it didn't apply to him. The time wasn't there. And then he says everything else is very mysterious. He's not going to get into it. But he says that, and this is, I think, the most important idea, is that the way the Avos came to the mitzvos was because they understood Chochma. In Chochma, you understand what you're supposed to do, and we who maybe don't have that level of wisdom, we have the action. The action to learn what the wisdom is. So that is what the Rashba says. So based on that, I want to skip the Rambam for now. I want to do the Ramban. The Ramban is also in this week's Parsha. So if you look at source number 15, Parashat Vav, Pasuk Hey, the Ramban there says that, again, when Yaakov Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael because your father, Yishmael, you listen to me. So what is it, listen to me? So Rashi points out that you followed all the gzeros, which seem to imply the enactments the rabbis made about forbidden relationships, and you followed all the mitzvos, that the rational mitzvot, like theft and murder, you discouraged, and also the chukim, those things that no one understands you did at all, like eating a pig and wearing shatness, you kept everything, and even Torah Shabbat Peh and Halacha Mitzvot Sinai. So Ramban says that it sounds like Rashi is basing what he says on the fact of the Gemara, that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim the whole Torah, learned the whole Torah. And it brings all the proofs. So then he asks the question. That's the case. How could Yaakov have built a matzeva? In other words, the Torah says you can't have a matzeva, a one-stone altar, only an altar of many stones. And he says, and how could Yaakov Avinu have married two sisters? How could Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, have married his aunt? He says, and not only that, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu put up 12 matzevot. So if the others kept all the Torah, how could the descendants and Yaakov not kept all the Torah? So the Ramban, I would just say, we'll come to the Ramban says, "Ulai Nemar." So what does it mean? He explains, no, it doesn't mean al pi pshat that they kept all the mitzvos. Ramban says that they kept all the Zion mitzvos, not all Tariyak mitzvos, also not all 613 mitzvos, but there were certain commandments that were given to the descendants of Noach, and that they kept. Not only they keep those, but if there was a need to make certain fences, other gzeirot, decrees, to make sure you wouldn't violate the seven Noahide laws, that they kept also. And they didn't worship idols, and they didn't go ahead and do Eivor Min HaChai. And it's interesting, he also mentions they didn't mix breed animals and plants. And that could be because if someone, I think Mephoshim pointed out that if someone mixed breeds animals and plants, you're sort of saying, you know, God's work is not good enough. So it's sort of be a rejection of what God does. I'm going to do something different than God. All right, he mentions that. And he says that the Bnei Noach were commanded not to mix breed animals. And he kept all those nine mitzvot Bnei Noach, all the seven Noahide laws. And according to Ramban, it seems clear that they didn't keep all the mitzvahs. He says, they kept certain mitzvot, the mitzvahs they were supposed to keep. That's what Ramban says. Now, However, the Ramban has to relate to the words of Chazal. And Chazal said that they kept all the mitzvot. And this is very important. And what does that mean? So he says, it's very famous. What do you mean they kept all the mitzvot? Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So the Ramban says, Yaakov Avinu, he married two sisters only in Chutz Loretz. By the time he got back to Eretz Yisrael, what happened to Rachel? She died. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What do you mean? So in Chutz Loretz, is it okay to do a Haveras? What does that mean? So first of all, that's not a question because he wasn't given the Torah yet. But the answer is like this, and I actually heard this shot from my brother, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, in this last part of the Ramban. What does it mean? It means that they didn't have to keep the whole Torah. And as Ramban, they didn't. However, when they were our forefathers and they were our role models. And a role model has to be a role model for us. When did Yaakov Avinu become a role model for us? When did he become a role model? When he got back to Eretz Yisrael. That's when he became a role model. And that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and changed his name to Yisrael. Things changed. So, in other words, he had to be, so therefore, he didn't have to keep all the mitzvahs. When he got back to Eretz Yisrael, because I'll say, there they have to, not because they're obligated, but they did it because, why? Because they had to be a role model. So when you're a role model, this might sound so great, this is, you don't have to keep everything. In other words, you have to keep those mitzvot, which is important to be a role model for. That's essentially the idea. Now, I remember, in the Soloveitchik family, they, Rav Chaim did not make a bracha on besamim. I made a bracha b'samim, and Rav Moshe made a bracha b'samim, and my father made a bracha b'samim. I assume the Rav did not make a bracha b'samim either. I have no idea. It's not a question we discuss in family simchas. And you know, so I was when I was in Yeshiva University, there was, you know, I used to be very, very extreme about my family's opinions. I remember, you know, so if someone was making Abdullah and they're making a bracha and v'samim, I can sell v'samim too because I'm not making the bracha. My father used to say, "What's that? We don't enjoy it." He says, "My father certainly did not like the way cloves smelled." Okay, and so there was the older man that ran the minyan. One of them, he says, his name was, I think it was Friedman, Mr. Friedman, I forgot who it was, and he once saw him, "Motzi Shabbos, I didn't smell the v'samim. Why did you smell the v'samim?" So I told him, "Chaim didn't smell the v'samim. Rav Moshe didn't smell the v'samim. My father doesn't smell the v'samim." He says, "Because they don't know how to smell things, but you can smell it." Anyways, that being said, I do make a bracha on v'samim. Okay? And also, for example, my father, he would always go ahead and would make bar mitzvah. That would be a problem, by the way, on an electric light. Today, it's not so simple to do that. And he once came to my house, and there I was, making a bar mitzvah on a candle. And he actually got upset at me. He says, "Why are you doing that?" And it was before Abdullah, and you know, so I said, "Okay, forget it. I'll make it on an electric light." And then after Abdullah, I said, "I'm making it on electric light because on a candle, because." So why was he was afraid that, you know, one of the things we're machbar in our family is Rabbeinu Tam. He was afraid that if I would make it on a candle, I might violate Rabbeinu Tam. So I said, I've always kept Rabbeinu Tam. But he said to me, I keep Rabbeinu Tam, and I'm doing it because I want my children to enjoy Havdalah. Yeah, it's cool. You light a candle, right? So he accepted that. In other words, sometimes you do think because you're a role model. So the Ramban, he says, yeah, they didn't keep all the mitzvot. When they got to Eretz Yisrael, became a role model. Then he had to keep certain mitzvot because they're role model. But not everything has to be kept. You know, every single prat because you're a role model is not necessary. So according to Ramban, I want to suggest that I'm not sure. Certainly according to the Ramban, he didn't keep every mitzvah. And even according to the parish of the Pshat of Chazal, that they kept all the mitzvot, he did certain things as a role model. That would be according to the Ramban. Now, the Ramban. Let's go to the Ramban for a second. So you look at the Ramban. And the Rambam clearly implies they did not keep every single mitzvah. In source number 13, the Rambam says, Perikas halacha aleph, Al shisha devarim nitzav Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was commanded to keep six mitzvahs. Avodah Zarah, Birchas Hashem, not to curse the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shvichas Domam, not to murder, Gilui Arayis, not incest, Al Gezel, theft, Al Adinim, So Dinim is the Machlokas, Ramban, what it is. whether it's a system of law or courts, the Apal Pisha Kul Hen Kabal Ben Moshe Rabbeinu, and even though all these things we receive Moshe Rabbeinu, Badas Notalehen, he says, Mechlal de Beitori Yerushalayim Nitzav, they were commanded on these things. Hosted with Noach Eber Menachai, Noach was commanded not to eat Eber Menachai, not eat an animal, not to cut off a limb from a live animal and eat it. Fine. Nifsu Sheva Mitzvot. V'chein hoya hadok v'chol lo'olam ad Avram. For Avram, v'nitztave, yesu le'lo mila. Avram was given another mitzvah. Now it's eight mitzvahs they were commanded in mila. The who, besides what he was commanded on, the Rambam adds, the who is Balal Shachris. What did he daven? He daven Shachris. So in other words, he said he was commanded on bris mila, but Shachris is in his own. And then he goes on. Yitzchak kiprish meiser. Yitzchak separated meiser. The host is tefillah acheres l'tzos eriyom, and he added on another tefillah towards evening. The Yaakov hosted gira nosha. It's interesting. Yaakov hosted. He wasn't commanded. This is according to the opinion that obligation kicked in at Matan Torah. So the Kesef Mishnah discusses that. Okay, this I think that's what we'll say again. V'yispal arvis nidavin hidavin meirin. And Mitzrayim, Amram was commanded other mitzvahs also, until Moshe Rabbeinu came along. So the Rambam clearly says that they didn't keep every single mitzvah. And then if you look at the Kesef Mishnah says like this, just to answer your question, he says, what do you mean Avram didn't do Meiser? He says, second line, the Pekas Lahal, but Lafisha, Kibdo Malkit, he says, he's after all, he gave the Malkit Tzedek. So he said he didn't give the Torah Meiser. He gave it because Malkit Tzedek, he wanted Mechav Malkit Tzedek, because it was mechaved him, so because of that, he wanted to give Malchus Tzedek something. He says, but Yitzchak was the one that did it with Shem Meiser. Okay, but according to the Rambam, it's clear he did not keep every single mitzvah. Now, so again, what's the idea behind the Medrash according to the Rambam? Now, I'll just say one more thing. If you look at source number 18, is from the Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss, his sefer on Parshat, on Sefer Bereishis. And there he quotes a letter, which I could not find. I can't say I looked really that hard. I couldn't find it online. I didn't have a set of Tshuvas HaRambam, but it was a letter that the Rambam wrote to Vachasdoi Kreskis. And if you look there, it says, the Adam v'harishon v'noach v'avos, Lokim was the Torah cloth. They were not Makayim the Torah at all. Amazing. The Apple began, and even still, so, the Rambam writes, Nochlu Ganein and Ere Ganeiden, Mishum Shehigiu, Lishamusam, the Milos Hamidos, the Milos Hasichlios, they reached perfection when it came to character traits and intellectual traits. That's what he says. The Rambam says, clearly, that's what he says. The Chasdoi Kreskis. So, that seems the Rambam, obviously, did not hold, they kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah. And I think it's very important, and we'll finish up with two more points, to take notice of the Nefesh of Chaim Rechaim Valozhner. Rechaim Valozhner, who felt that learning Torah Lishma means learning Torah for its own sake, for no other purposes, he says you have to understand that Torah purifies a person. And just like, and the Chazal compare learning Torah to going into mikvah. And just like going into mikvah purifies a person, learning Torah purifies a person. And a person has to go ahead, and a person, the Adam HaYashir, says, so the bottom line is, when we learn Torah, we shouldn't think of purifying ourselves. We learn about Torah. But to realize what the Torah does for us, the Torah does for all the worlds, it brings the worlds up. And then he says like this. He says, and this was the avoda of our forefathers, the avos. And all the tzaddikim are rishon really tzaddikim. When it says that they were mekayim the Torah before it was given, so it means behema, he says, the Noach knew Torah, Aravino knew Torah. What does it mean? He says, not because they did it mi'adin. Because if that's the case, he says, if they did it mi'adin, they wouldn't go ahead and they wouldn't have done something that seemed to be against the Torah. But he says, and Yaakov would not have married two wives. He says, so what happens is, they realized with their pure intellect, what happens with every mitzvah do you do? And what every mitzvah what it does to the world, right? And they realize what every avera, every sin can cause to the world to happen. And for that reason, that's the idea that he says, because of that, they were able to walk. They were able to walk with God. They understood the higher kochos, the powers above and the powers below, and they were able to understand everything. He says they understand everything. So Yaakov Avinu, he realized according to what his neshama or his soul was holding, that you can marry two sisters. We today don't have that because we have the Torah and that's it. And I'll come back to that in a second. He says, however, that is the reason. The Torah was not given to their forefathers. But when they learned Torah, they learned what the Torah can accomplish. And therefore, anything that they felt they can accomplish the same by doing a certain thing they did. And if something they felt they couldn't accomplish, they wouldn't do. But the idea of that the obvious of Torah means they understood what every mitzvah can accomplish. Similar to what the Rashba says. And that's what they did. They learned what you can accomplish every action, and they would do it then. But not everything applied to them. And they understood that. And that's why Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. So what's the idea behind this? I think, and that when they learned, they understood that that's the Rambam. The Rambam says that they reached, in the letter to the Chazal Krestus, they reached the ethical, the intellectual perfection. What does that mean? They understood what every piece of wisdom, what it can accomplish, what you can do with it. And they were able to apply that to their own lives. And what do we learn from this? I think we learn from this like this. That we have to keep all mitzvahs. That's clear. And there's never an excuse not to go ahead and keep a mitzvah. We can go ahead and rash and never an excuse. Once the Torah was given. And it's a shame to go ahead and do the mitzvahs and forget the reason behind the mitzvah. For example, Erev HaShilim, as I gave. What's Erev HaShilim about? It's about remembering Shabbos even though Yom Tov is here. So that's a chokhmah, an idea of wisdom. So when we're involved in one thing, we have to remember other things that are going on. And not to forget, because now we're involved in this area and this activity. Another example I would give is, let's say, you know, there's a, not getting particular, let's say, there's a halacha, there's a custom, that after, you should not eat fish together with meat. Okay? It's based on a certain gears from the Gemara, and it's paskin up, I think, in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam does not paskin this halacha. It's not paskin this halacha. Because the Rambam is different girsah. The Magen Avraham says the reason why Chazal said according to this girsah that you should not go according to the Shita, that you should not go ahead and you should not eat fish with meat is because they thought it was dangerous. We know today the Shita and Ateva, nature's change is not dangerous. Okay, fine. My father, you should just know, Meikar Adin felt that probably it's not dangerous, but the custom is to be machmed, so we should be machmed. What's the reason behind this mitzvah? What's the reason behind this mitzvah? You gotta be healthy. So therefore, a person who goes ahead and decides that he is going to be so machmir about not eating fish of meat, and then is not careful about what he eats in general, is not careful about smoking, is not careful about exercising, he missed the point of the mitzvah. And that is a chokhmah, that's a wisdom. And that applies to everything. We have to take all the mitzvahs and decide, like, of course, to do it. We have to understand the idea, what the Chochmah Elyon is, what we have to do with it. And unfortunately today, I think on some level we're missing that. I just want to finish off with the Kuzari. Because I think, I want to make sure, if I leave at this point, there might be a danger that might come out. So the Kuzari, in Maimar Beis, Os Chavav, Source 19, is talking to, the Rav, the Chacham, is talking to the king of the Kuzaris. And he was explaining to him, you know, why we have Karbanis. And then he says, you should know, it's very nice that I said what the reason for Karbanos is. It's a very nice idea. You know, because through the Karbanos we bring God down into this world. But he says, I'm not saying for sure this is the whole intention of Karbanos, because then it's very simplistic. But he says, Avomashu Yoter Niflavinala, what's more important is that it's a Torah from God, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, from God. He says, and therefore someone who does the Torah without asking questions, but he does it because God said to do it, he is the best, he is in the highest level. Right? However, those people have not reached the highest level. And they have to ask, why God? What's the point behind it? The point is, I'm just saying, we have to keep all the mitzvahs, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not tell the others to. But the Avos understood the ideas behind it. And they did the mitzvot because the mitzvot affected them and inspired them. It taught them how to look at life and how to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what ideas we take, we extrapolate from the mitzvot, from the commandments. But certainly we today have to keep the mitzvot, should not forget what the Avos did. The Avos, they said, according to Ramban, our role models. And just like as role models, they understood the ideas behind the mitzvot and how to apply it to our lives. It's very important that when we have a mitzvah, we try to understand what is the idea behind the mitzvah. So I think that, again, it's important to always know that we have to go ahead and we have to do mitzvahs. We have to do all the commandments. But to understand the ideas, it would definitely lift us up more to come closer to the avos, because every idea that comes out of a mitzvah, we can apply to our lives and make everything we do avodas Hashem, and help us reach, as the avos did, or come close to character and intellectual perfection. So, as I said, I'm not sure what the avos did, but one thing I do know is that whatever was in the Torah, they took the deeper idea and found how to apply to the lives to make everything in their lives part of avodas Hashem, service of God. Yeah.